Good morning.
Morning.
Says half of our audience walked out the back door. Children's church is the place to be. Come on. Man, it's good to be here this morning and just worship with you. And it's just good to be a part of this body. Looking around here, and not only looking around at the faces who are here, but the faces who are not here. I see them where they're supposed to be sitting, and yet it's vacation time, so lots of folks are on the road and out and about. Today, we're going to have a word about worship. And I'm going to especially talk about mostly worship in singing, but there's other ways we worship as well. But First off, just to say, songs are powerful. Songs, because of the music involved, then the lyrics become easily a part of the way we feel and the way we think. Both our brain and our heart are involved. And so this is the way it is, you know. Songs provide such emotional and mental memory, right? I told you last week we're talking about prayer and talked about Garth Brooks at LSU Big Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, and there's 90,000 people there. And when he started singing unanswered prayers, well, 90,000 of them were singing it with him, you know. And because they just know this, and it just comes back. And probably... I'm a crier. Danny's a crier. Some of you are criers. Some of you not so much. Doesn't put you closer to Jesus if you do. But sometimes certain songs are going to come on the radio and boom, I'm out. I'm going to start weeping up, tearing up. And so, for instance, this is one Colin Ray song, you know. We're old enough to know Colin Ray. And man, when he started singing this song, as soon as it starts, I get into the chorus, you know, if you get there before I do. Y'all know that song? Some of you maybe? No? Well, I'm going to give you some background and I'll read the whole song. But these lyrics to this country melody, I read a note my grandma wrote back in 1923. Grandpa kept it in his coat and he showed it once to me. He said, "Boy, you might not understand, but a long, long time ago, Grandma's daddy didn't like me none, but I loved your grandma so. We had this crazy plan to meet up and run away together and get married in the first town we came to and live forever. But nailed to the tree where we were supposed to meet, instead I found this letter. And this is what it said. If you get there before I do, don't give up on me. I'll meet you when my chores are through. I don't know how long I'll be, but I'm not going to let you down, darling. Wait and see, and between now and then, until I see you again, I'll be loving you. Love me." I read those words just hours before my grandma passed away, and in the doorway of the church where grandpa stopped to pray. I know I'd never seen him cry in all my 15 years, but as he said these words to her, his eyes filled up with tears. "If you get there before I do, don't give up on me. I'll meet you when my chores are through. I don't know how long I'll be, but I'm not going to let you down, darling. Wait and see. And between now and then, until I see you again, I'll be loving you. Love me." So, yeah, I mean, some of you are tearing up right now. I can't even sing that song, you know. Those songs are powerful. And they have so much meaning to us. And I can remember worshiping in the San Saba Church of Christ, where my grandmother and my great aunt, her sister, were the song leaders who sat out in the audience. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so the song leader who was standing in front of everybody would start the thing, and then boom, they would come in. And one of them, my grandmother sang alto, and my great aunt sang soprano. And I just can remember singing the songs with them as a little boy on the pew. And it just so, you know, it still makes my heart. I can remember at camp when we high school kids at this Kadesh, and we had devotionals through the day. And I can remember sitting in the amphitheater at ACU and Sarah Miller sitting behind me. And I love to sit by in front of Sarah, because Sarah took hold of my instructions as we're singing, getting ready to sing. I would say, if you don't know the words, just sing loud. And Sarah was always a loud singer. And it was like she sang from the bottom of her toes to the top of her head. And wherever Sarah was, the little people around her, some of them would often, you know, kind of, whoa, that girl is loud. But I loved it, right? Because it was all, she's all in. And so we're going to talk a little bit about worship and especially singing today. But worship is more than just singing. Worship is a matter, it's a matter of choice, actually. And it is our choice to bow down in our hearts and in our minds to God. It's us surrendering our hearts to God. That's what worship is. It includes singing, but it's not just limited to singing. And so in this way, God asks us to follow him. And in our songs, we say, boom, what? We say yes. And so not only though in our songs do we say yes, we do it in our lives. When we meet as a group, we are meeting as a group to together say, yes, God, you're God. And we choose you. We choose to be loyal to you, not any other God. And we do this because he deserves it. He's worthy of it. And we tell him that as we sing. But other ways we worship God is by serving others. Serving is worship. It's choosing forgiveness. That's worship. When you choose forgiveness, you're bowing down in your heart and your mind to God. It's when we share communion. It's when we share communion and we come and we say to each other, we love you for what you've done for us. It's to seek first his kingdom. This is worship. It's how we spend ourselves in our lives, all the resources of our lives. And I talk often about our main resources are our time and our energy, and then every physical thing we have. It's how we spend our lives, listening to something play. Worship is also something that sometimes we refuse. We refuse. When we refuse to gossip, that's worship. We're bowing our hearts to God. We're offering our obedient selves to God. When we refuse to judge others, or when we refuse to worry. Man, worry especially, because worry is such a natural thing to human beings. And when we say, God, I know you're in charge. I'm not going to worry. That's worship. But in our songs, when we get to do this verbally, we get to do this verbally, especially when we come together. We can worship through songs by ourselves. Some of you in the shower, me for sure in the car, and I sound awesome in the car when I'm singing the songs. But we say yes. He says, come with me. We say, yes, we will. And we do this as we declare our faith in him in the songs, in the lyrics of the songs. We surrender him to him as our Lord. And we proclaim him as the creator. And we accept our identity. Our identity often our song lyrics about our identity. So we submit and we serve because of his authority and his power and his grace and our trust in him. And so we've already worshiped today. And the sermon, we've already preached it to each other. We do this every Sunday when we come in. We preach to ourselves through the lyrics we sing. So we're going to look at some of the lyrics that we sang today. So we started out, we sang Oceans. I love oceans. I mean, real oceans, you know, like Atlantic, Pacific. But this song is about faith. And this song is about choosing God. So we sang to each other. Okay, say this. We sang to each other. I didn't really mean to say that, for you to say that, but often I do. So I understand where you're coming from. But it wasn't just people with microphones. You know, Bradley and I were busting out. We were singing, and we were singing, "Your grace abounds in deepest waters." We sang this to each other. You preach the sermon as you're singing, "Your sovereign hand will be my guide." So we prayed, "Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders." And so the question I'm asking you as I'm saying these words to you, I'm also asking, are you really willing to follow if he leads? You're saying, yeah, I'm going to follow you. Leanne today, when she sang Oceans, she said to all of us, she worshiped God by bowing down to him and saying, if your spirit leads me, I'm going to follow. We're preaching that sermon to ourselves, and we're worshiping our God together when we say it together. And then we sang, "How great is our God." And man, you know, it just, for different reasons, different ones of us will raise our hands when we're singing. It's not that we have a question to ask, but we raise them for a variety of reasons. Your reasons at certain moments in certain songs may be one thing, but as I'm waiting, you know, and getting ready to preach, and I'm singing "How Great is Our God," I just see off in the side, you know, Sally's hands going up. And I'm thinking in this moment together, she and I were expressing our awe of God. And all of us were. We're saying, "God, you are awesome. How great is our God?" And as that melody and those lyrics came kind of enveloped, we all joined in and we all said to each other, "Our God is awesome. He is beyond words," right? He is beyond words. And so we try with words. But when we put a melody with the words, it's just more, we feel like we're a little closer, don't you? Am I just a little closer? And so I love this lyric when it says, "And time is in his hand, beginning and the end." Mary Beth and I listen to mystery books, audio books, and we listen to them. And I get into them in a way where I'm like in the book itself. And so almost always the good guys are about to die. And I am so stressed out that the good guys are about to die. And then I tell myself, the author of this book, James Patterson, he knows that I need the good guys to win in the end, you know? And so that calms me down. I mean, my heart rate's racing. I'm thinking that the good guys are gonna die. And then I tell myself, wait, James is not going to let that happen because he's the author of this book and he knows what a good ending is. And when I sing this song to God, I think the same thing. Life could be kind of crazy and it looks like things are not going to end well, but I know the author of our story knows the ending we need. And he's gonna give it to us. So how great is our God? Beginning and the end. Woo! And even now, beginning, I'm thinking, I didn't think this till a few, like right now that I'm saying it. But, you know, when Sarah walks in, there's a little beginning going on. Okay? How great is our God? Beginning and the end. And I know that she just spent the weekend with my parents, her grandparents. How great is our God? Beginning and the end. He's got it. He's the author. And we sing this to each other. And so this is how we worship. And then we sang, Blessed Be Your Name. And whoa, Blessed Be Your Name can be a hard song. I mean, as you think about this song and the lyrics of this song, in good times and bad times, and I look around at us and I can see, and I see Betty and I see Mary Beth. And I see Georgie, and I know that there's sometimes life's hard. And sometimes it's great. And so I see Bradley, and Bradley's pumped because not only does he get to live with the Carlsons, he gets to live with the Carsons. How awesome is that? And so it's like when the land is plentiful, and I have abundance of places to live, not just one, like Bradley, he's got two. Okay, then blessed be your name. But when I'm found in a desert place and I walk through the wilderness, and man, have we all walked through the wilderness in the last couple of years that we've been together? And we're not just singing these songs alone. I sit and every Sunday I see you. And when I see you, I see your story. And I know your story and you know mine. And I recognize your joy. And I also recognize your pain. And as we recognize each other's joy and pain, and we come together and we take our joy and we take our pain, and we lift it up to God as we sing these lyrics. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining, which by the way, it pretty much always is around here. I would change this lyric. When the rain's coming down on us, well, that would be so awesome, right? Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering. Man, we've walked that road. And there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. And as we do this, we recognize joy and sorrow, but what we're really doing is confessing our hope together. We're saying this, our hope is not in our circumstances. Our hope is in the authority and love of God. And we have this common hope. And as we sing it together, joy and sorrow come out together, and we give it to God. We worship. And so we're about to sing, I call it the identity song, but it's who you say I am. And as much as anything else we do in worship is we tell people who we are. We do it by how we act. We do it by how we act. We do it how what our tongue says. And when our tongue speaks, people know who we are. They see us. When we act, our behavior presents our identity. Who are we? Well, we're sons and daughters. And this line we're going to sing in just a minute, free at last, he's ransomed me. Because I was a slave to sin. I couldn't make even the choice to do right because I was going to pick wrong every time. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. That's our past, our present, and our future. And together we say, we're his. Amen. We're all his. And he says this, I'm chosen, not forsaken. And there are moments in our past we know, and we can look around and say, I know I felt forsaken, but I'm not. That's not who I am. I'm chosen. He's for me, not against me. who the Son sets free is free indeed. In my Father's house, there's a place for us. We're going to be neighbors in our Father's house. I don't know what street you'll live in heaven. I think it'll be golden. Maybe not. Way beyond what we can imagine. But we're going there together. And as we sing this song, this is about who we are. Family. Daughters. Sons of God. That's who I am. That's who you are. That's who we are. Christ Community Church in Pantego, wherever that is. And this is us as we sing our identity to God and we worship. So we're going to stand and sing this song together. We're going to worship together. We are making a claim that our identity is certain. You don't even have to look in your ID card. You know who you are. Son of God. Daughter of God. This is who you are. This is who you will be. There's nothing you're going to do. You can't. You know what? When you ran away from home and you were the prodigal, you are still his son. You are still his daughter. And so we're going to sing this song because of what he's done for us and as he's claimed for us. And as we worship together, this is the thing we do. We're going to go out and do some other kind of worship in a minute. But I want you to just really claim this song as a song of us. And when it says me, I want you to think of the person next to you as well. It's not just Betty who's a daughter of God. It's also Leanne. And they're sisters sitting right there together, claiming this truth together about their identity. Let's stand up and sing it. Two things. I hope that somewhere during your day on a regular basis, you sing worship songs to the radio, to some kind of other device. You have a playlist of some kind, Spotify or something like that, where you're listening to worship songs and you're singing along, because some of us, we need some help to really sing like Sarah loud. Some of you, you got it. Just go for it. But not only that. As you sing these songs, you hear this message and you proclaim it, boom. When you walk into Target, when you go to your office, when you go to your place of work, that these songs that are in your head and heart would proclaim Jesus to the people who you meet, to the people you come in contact with, the joy, the kindness, the things that the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you comes out as you hear these lyrics again and again in your mind. So let's go do it. Let's go sing, people. Let's sing, all right?